This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sportive time. It is I, Brandon. John's here. Hi, John.
Hello, Brandon.
Hello, Stu.
I'm here.
Great. And our starring, introducing the one and only Chicken Fingers 69 at twitter.com. Hello, Chicken.
What's up, puckers?
Sup. Okay. We're recording this on December 3rd, and as future listeners will know, this was the day of the historic Loons playoff situation that's happening. And I think why a lot of people tune in is to hear live updates from sports that have already gotten done playing in their future. And so we're going to give the people what they want. John, the Loons are playing right now in the playoffs. Is that right?
Yes, and I need your guys' help. I need help making a decision here. So despite what Sporting Kansas City's coach Peter Vermees said, Minnesota United was a heavy underdog coming into this game. But against all of those odds, they are winning 3-0 at halftime.
Oh, boy, this is going to hurt so bad, John.
Well, that plays into what I'm about to ask you here. I want you guys to tell me now whether I should or should not turn this game off right now.
Yeah, because you could make an argument that there's nothing, it's not going to get any better.
The
only way is down. You probably have peaked in terms of enjoyment of the game. Now it's just hold on for dear life.
There's three votes here. I'm going to go with the majority.
Okay, I say keep it on because we all know you, and if you turn it off, you're just going to be looking for updates every 4 seconds. Just lean into who you are.
Okay.
You got to keep it on. You don't have a choice. That's my vote. Keep it on.
Stu?
Leave the game on.
Okay, well.
Doesn't matter what you says.
We don't even need a vote from Maricopa County then, because it's already been decided. We're leaving the game on.
Heavy underdogs, John. Now, are the Loons as big of choking assholes as the rest of the teams in Minnesota?
It's hard to say because they have not played a lot of important games.
Right. They haven't built up enough heartbreak and distrust in the community yet. Okay. They're newbies.
Since they've been in MLS, they played in one final and they lost. Okay. But that was against the best team in the league that year. So it's a little hard to say that they choked exactly. They played one playoff game last year and they also lost that, but so far this year, they won the only playoff game they played. So the previous non-MLS incarnation of the team, I don't think was noted chokers either. They won a championship and almost won another one. So I don't know.
Hey. Oh, we're champions.
Yes.
Oh, it feels good.
It feels great.
It felt good at the time.
Yeah. No, I retroactively, I'm really excited.
Yep, that 2011 Minnesota Stars team is Brandon's favorite soccer team of all time.
Yeah, I mean, nothing better. That's amazing, John. So they were big underdogs to Kansas City, yes?
Yes,
and
that's
now
correct.
if they do by some miracle pull off a W here, then what happens?
Then on Monday they will play in Seattle in the conference championship.
Those two teams don't like each other.
Conference championship. That'll be so the final four is happening Monday.
Right.
You want to be in it.
That's correct.
I'm stoked, buddy. I'm really happy.
For you. I can only imagine what the next 50 minutes of this podcast are going to bring.
Now, can you give me your emotional state right now? And can you, as we always like to do, because we're jerks, make you put this in terms that we understand? This isn't a Brandon watching the Timberwolves, I don't think. I don't think this is a Stu watching the Vikings. Is it? But is it? I mean, is that how, or is it a chicken watching the Wild? Is it me watching the Vikings? From what you know of us and our fandom,
right.
I just want to know, how big is this for you?
How big is this for me? Boy, that's an interesting question. I think this is probably like, I'm going to say chicken watching the Wild in the 2003 playoffs. He really wants them to win, but they're still his stepdad.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a big deal to you, but it's not necessarily Twins, the biggest. But it's still pretty. You're on edge right now.
It's a big. Oh yeah,
mentally.
I've got that crazy Vikings feeling, like the Vikings are up by two touchdowns feeling. Where on the one hand I'm smiling, and on the other hand I feel like everything's about to go horribly wrong.
Right. Yeah. Nerve wracking.
Yeah,
like, high heart rate. Later, your Apple Watch will be like, "Were you exercising?"
It's like,
no.
Pretty much every wedding I've been at for one of my aunts.
The aunt's wedding of sporting events.
I'm smiling, but it's going to go horribly wrong.
Maybe before the night is out.
Maybe. Knowing chicken's aunts, yeah, there's some history there. Well, that's excellent,
we all know
John.
About chicken's aunts.
And that's at halftime right now as we're recording. Are you going to give us updates periodically?
I'm debating whether I just go the full stew and start yelling for no reason at stuff that only I can see.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's what the listeners
want,
John.
Yep,
they do. They write us
in. I agree.
That's what they ask for. I'm glad that you were having fun watching that right before we started recording, because I was doing the opposite of that. A half an hour before we were supposed to, and we started late. I was late. I'm sorry. I decided to try to take apart a ping pong table and move it to a different part of my house. Do you have any experience with this? This is unexpectedly.
It would be better to buy a new ping pong table.
Don't they just fold?
I should have just fucking burned it.
Don't they just fold in half and you just pick it up and move it? They just fold in half.
Like
a hinge.
Yeah.
Yep. But they don't necessarily, if you have to bring it up some stairs, it's a little too heavy to do that if your only other lifting partner is your wife. And they also, it doesn't go actually up there without having to take off the legs and the wheels. But I didn't realize that until we were halfway up the stairs, obviously. The thing weighs like 5,000 pounds, just an absolute nightmare. So I got to calm myself down too. I'm still a little amped up. I don't know if there's anything more. There should just be like a, I don't know if it's a TV show or some YouTube channel or something devoted to husbands and wives the husband trying to direct the wife to help out with something.
No.
There's no actual English words used at all. I'm just like, get, no, turn, no, black, the black.
Crossways.
Turn, get,
crossways.
Out of the way. No, flip the turn, the black
my
part. Turn
right. My it's, right.
Oh, my God bless her for trying to be patient with me, because none of it makes any sense. And in my head, it makes perfect sense. And then when I hear myself trying to talk, I'm just saying wheel over and over. Just wheel. Wheel. She's like, what about it? Just the wheel. You got to flip the wheel. And she's just has no, absolutely
it's gotta
no
be
idea
what
I'm talking about.
The Wolves felt like when Thibodeau was yelling at him. It's got to be
ice. The fuck is he talking about?
Claudia, rotate.
Ah, classic bits. Can I get a sidebar?
I love
Brandon,
bits.
Can I get a sidebar?
Please.
Okay, chicken, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any good moving stories with Irv?
Moving?
Yes, moving furniture or an item of some sort. It seems like Irv would have a body. Good moving body in the woods in a shallow grave somewhere. A revenueer, perhaps.
Irv has lived in the same house since he was like, fuck, I don't know, 19 or something like that. That's
right.
I've never seen
he's doing
him
it right.
And I've never seen.
God, he's a smart.
I've never
man.
Seen. That's no, a smart he's man never right done. He's never done any physical labor that I've ever
oh, wow.
seen. He's the guy. He figured it out early. You want to hold the clipboard. You don't want to be the. You want to be the guy holding the clipboard. You don't want to be the guy being yelled at by the person holding the clipboard.
Right.
Nah, nothing.
He's a mad genius.
Mind. Yeah, God, that's just smart.
He's lived in the same house forever. So no, I've never seen him move
good.
Anything.
Good. Yeah, I mean I've helped put in docks and it's just misery. Oh. Just misery.
Yep.
You're
yeah.
wearing,
yep.
It's like 40 degrees, the water is colder, you're wearing waders, it's mm-hmm. you are hung over half to death. It's just mm-hmm. misery.
You have to try to unscrew something and not lose the bolt in the water, and you do, and you have to dive down and get it. You're right. This is exact. I've done that a million times. Mm-hmm. This is the putting in a dock of home
sure.
chores, is trying to take apart and move a ping pong table. What, so and the you... old ones probably weighed, they're probably made out of like cardboard. This is, I mean, this is not like professional grade or anything, but it's newer, so it's heavy as shit. It's probably the same as trying to move a pool table, which is also just absolute nah. nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
for the just... birds, man. I'm moving it to the garage, and then I never want to think about it again. It's a garage thing now. Yeah, that's why I had to move it. It's in the basement. It's taking up space.
Yeah. I would never move a pool table. Not in a million. No. I'd rather jackhammer a yeah. pool table-sized hole into the ground, yeah. lower the pool table into that hole, and just cover it up with, like, a rug. There. It's moved.
I would
oh, God.
I would sooner move to a different house than try to move a pool table out of my house.
My cousin is obsessed with, he loves pool so much, and he has a basement. He's like, oh, I really want to have a pool table, whatever. And my parents were moving, and they were like, you can have our pool table. And they have an amazing pool table. And they're like, the only stipulation, you got to come get it yourself. And he was like, oh, fuck.
Nope.
I don't know if I like it that much. And it took him like 2 days probably. Of his life, yeah. Oh man!
Oh yeah, the
nope. It's my number one most hated chore.
Yeah, the worst dock installation story I have. It was basically a 3-person job, and one of the persons got food poisoning from McDonald's. So it was just me and my buddy
sure.
Shush trying to put it in, and we quickly realized. First of all, we didn't have enough of the dock pieces, and we were also just way too hungover to be doing it. So we just did mm-hmm. as much as we could before we both died. And by the end of it, the dock looked like Irish teeth. It was just literally had to go back up like 3 weeks later and like take all the parts out and redo it once everybody was sober. It was just and of course we're much like chicken, we're proud cabin mooches, so that was like mm-hmm. our way of like you know being able to enjoy the cabin that summer. So it was
help out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was so. That's yeah. Just don't. It's not as bad as moving a pool table. That is the worst, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I apologize to Irish people. Oh. I offended with that remark.
I'm Irish, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. I checked the box. All right. So on to less happy things. Worse things than the ping pong table was me watching the Vikings last weekend. I didn't like it. I admitted last week on this show that I have convinced myself, and I'm not kidding, to root against the Vikings this year because I'm bored by them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I don't watch a ton. I only watched the fourth quarter, and I, again, didn't see every play, but I saw enough to turn it on and think, this is great. I'm very happy. The Vikings are going to lose. And they felt like they were doing a great job. And then at some point, I think that they just basically got out-tanked by a smarter team. Mm-hmm. They just decided to lose the game on purpose somewhere mm-hmm. in that fourth quarter. Not like fall over on purpose, but just one of those like, hey, we're trying to run the clock out, but let's just pass it for fun. And it's not a big, don't like hurt yourself if it's a little bit off target. And you can snap the ball at like 19 seconds. That's okay. We don't really care that much. And the Vikings took the bait, and they won. And it made me very, very, very sad. And I'm not happy. And the thing that made it worse, and this is now getting to a point where I'm just finding things to be upset about, as we do on this show. There was a mock draft by The Athletic the next day, and they had the Panthers, the team that we beat, getting Justin Fields, a very good quarterback, because you know they expect them to have not as many wins. And then they have us taking like a cornerback or something with the 14th pick or 15th pick. And that just like is a little bit extra salt in the wound for me. I was upset. Stu, I know you feel opposite. Do you want to take a minute to talk about how fun that game was for you?
Oh, it was misery. It was awful. I didn't enjoy it at all. It was, there was just nothing. It was basically the Tennessee game, only the Vikings won instead of lost. It was the Seattle game, only the Vikings won instead of lost. It was the Dallas game, only the Vikings won instead of lost. It's just, right. You know, it was like one of those games where it was like a coin flip over who was going to win, and came up heads this time. So, I don't know. It was just, they'll probably go to the playoffs now. They'll either win a playoff game or they will lose out. I think are equally likely at this point. They have your Jags this week, and do you know who the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars is now?
Nick Foles? No.
The late Beatle, Mike. John Lennon is actually their quarterback. It's amazing.
Lennon.
You don't see it.
Incredible.
So
he's back, baby.
No, it's
John Lennon 2.0.
Hut hut, man. That's a John Lennon. That's a John Lennon impersonation.
That was really good.
Groovy cat.
No one saw it coming. So yeah, they're gonna probably go 500 now, and
God, I can't handle this, no. Stu.
Well, I
know.
What else are you gonna do? It's December. There's nothing else going on except staying home.
Not a thing.
Mm-hmm. I just how many is there going to be a year when you guys also get tired of the 8-8 repeat season that's happened? Are you ever going to get tired of it? It's just where they're good enough to win some and never good enough. You know, they're kind of in, what is it, purgatory? Okay.
Here's the thing, though, Brandon. Still have a soul, so I can't bring myself to cheer against my favorite team.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could. I'm
taking the long view.
I'd love to be able to
see. I love him more than you do.
No. Dana cut the cord. I give him credit for doing it. I can't do that.
Right.
No, I think it's generational. I think he is in a different generation than us. Yeah. And I think they don't have a problem with it. The loyalty aspect.
I think starter jackets are what caused it. I really do.
Loyalty is.
You saw the cool starter jacket, and then you decided to like the team that the starter jacket.
Yes,
was
with. That's yes. There's the Charlotte Hornets. There's just the whole generation that loves teal.
Oh God,
and fucking teal starter jackets and
Seattle and Mariners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The San Jose Sharks. They just whatever, that's man. What I'm a Sharks fan.
I like love teal. The Sharks, I Marlins,
like,
baby.
I like
love the Marlins.
Drinks. Energy drinks and threesomes. They're cool.
Brandon, you and I are in the starter jacket generation. Have we discussed what starter jacket you had as a kid?
Oh, I'm in a starter. No, that's
you are too.
Sure, we had starter jackets. Fuck.
All right.
You are members only. Come on, pal. You know you're a members only guy.
I thought for sure if I insinuated that you had a starter jacket, you would be extremely insulted for some reason.
John,
so.
You were going to lose either way on that one.
you were. Yeah,
I guess wrong.
I
didn't, but I was part of that generation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Funnily enough, mine was the Carolina Panthers. I was, it was just bright blue.
Oh, I know.
They were new. Fuck, I loved them. That was my favorite starter jacket.
You told me that those bright colors are not attractive. You said great. grays.
Grays.
Muted
yep.
colors. Blacks. That's all you mm-hmm. wear now.
Gray and black. As a child, I was extremely opposite. And I also had a Philadelphia Eagles one. It was also it was really bright green. I was into that. John, what about you?
You're going to think about how random it's possible for me to have a starter jacket. And it's even more random than that. I had a Georgia Tech starter jacket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know they made those.
Yeah.
How in the world?
How a store in Minnesota had a Georgia Tech yellow jacket starter jacket is utterly beyond me. But
I feel like it was part of some sort of outreach program, kind of like how those T-shirts just end up in, like, I don't know, third world country. Like, they just dumped Georgia Tech starter jackets in a crate out of a helicopter.
Crossroads Mall in St. Cloud had one.
How did you find a starter jacket made out of burlap?
And it had the malaria vaccine.
Oh, that was funny.
I think, did we lose Brandon? What happened here?
I'm here. I'm laughing. Oh. I'm laughing off, having the time of my life, just off frame. Laughing.
So
off screen. Wait, are you guys on Google like Hangouts? Can you see each other? Am I the only one that's not visible?
Yeah, we've been uploading to YouTube.
You've
since
been doing
it
this for
yeah.
We're actually
all in the same room right now, checking. It's just
you pieces of shit. Oh, you guys suck.
Yeah, we got to deal with Hulu. It's great. It's been good for us. Very good.
You're
okay. So, I'm going to be on an island here by being this upset that the Vikings continue to be in purgatory. I had a whole thing worked up that Zimmer is secretly the devil. He's a football devil. I'm not going to go there. It's fine. But you get it, right? You get it.
I guess what I picture with this team, and I don't. There's players on this team that I think people like. I don't know that anybody. Maybe I'm misreading Vikings fandom in the masses. I don't know that anybody's super passionate about this team. Again, maybe I'm misreading it. And what I picture is, like, let's say somehow, miraculously, I know this is not going to happen, but let's say the Vikings won the Super Bowl. And that this team wins the Super Bowl. And they and a parade is allowed. So you picture everybody else's parade when a team wins the championship. The city comes out. You know, hundreds of thousands of people gather.
Full force. Swinging from the chandeliers.
And it's beer everywhere, and people are screaming and hollering, and there's the convertibles.
Public orgies. Yep.
Yeah. And then there's a speech, right? Like, there's a stage somewhere in a square. Maybe it's at the St. Paul Capitol. I don't know where it would be. Wherever. It doesn't matter. And people take turns. Players take turns getting up and giving speeches. And, like, Harrison Smith gets up and gives a speech, and the crowd goes crazy, right? Everybody loves Harry Smith.
Sure.
All fans love him, right? Eric Kendricks.
Stalwart.
Fans love Eric Kendricks. People going crazy, screaming and hollering. Kendricks is up there dancing. Harry's dancing. Everybody's
cool hair.
Having a great time.
Like, hell yeah. Break dancing.
And then Kirk Cousins gets up there, and it's like...
this is the minor rock applause. My tube.
And I picture, like, Forrest Gump giving his speech at the Lincoln Memorial, you know, where, like, and people are going crazy, and then he talks, and
up to it, including a red ass Mike Zimmer pulling out all the microphone cords so nobody can hear him.
<It's> crickets. I don't know. I don't see the passion around this. Everybody's kind of with you, Brandon. They're either you're just on the losing side of the fence, but everybody else just is kind of falling over on the barely hoping for wins side. That's the way I see this team. Nobody's passionate about
him. It's going to be like that forever.
I think you're right. At least
a long time.
The late 20s.
Oh. Well, we always will have our loons.
Yes, sir. I've made my piece.
Juggernaut loons.
It's fine.
So have I.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be fun someday.
No, it won't.
Nah.
I don't see why it should be.
No.
No, that's right. We don't deserve it.
Glenn Mason is in the jail. Vikings. That's, you know, there's no justice
Glenn
for Dave.
Mason walks the earth as a free man.
Win some, lose some. So the Vikings are playing the John Lennon's Jaguars this weekend. Probably like 20-point favorites there. So they'll be 6-6, and then whatever else happens after that, we don't have to worry about it. All we have to worry about is the game in front of us, and that's the Jaguars. Okay?
Coach,
2 weeks.
Coach,
we'll worry about that.
I think we should call for an audible. No.
Hot route. Yeah, I'm not gonna go there with the John Lennon impressions. I'm very bad at them.
Brandon, you know what does a Jamaican John Lennon sound like?
Oh no.
Yaman.
God.
The pressure drop. Oh, pressure drop.
What? So Chet Hanks.
I have not been sued yet, by the way. Just
trending
so
on Twitter yesterday. What are the goddamn chances of that?
We willed it into existence. He's been a regrettable, embarrassing white rapper for like 2 decades now.
Yes, and suddenly, days after we mention it,
right,
it trends.
Yeah, I know. We're influencers.
Curious.
Yep. Only 15 people listen to this podcast, but all 15 of them trend stuff on Twitter somehow. I'm not sure how this one ends, but you know, you get it.
We're the Velvet Underground of celebrity fail sons.
That's right. That's right. Okay. That's all I got for football.
Same here.
John, I have a question for you.
Okay,
man. What are your feelings on the Minnesota Twins losing our guy Ed? The final Ed, I believe.
The last.
The last Ed we've got.
They're out of Eds.
It's over. All gone.
I don't know. I understand why they did not offer him a contract. I sort of knew it already. Our good friend Aaron Gleeman wrote a long explainer at The Athletic of why they didn't, and it all makes sense. They you could just look at two sections of statistics. The one comparing him to all of the corner outfielders in the league, showing that he's basically a league average corner outfielder when it comes to hitting, and the section that talked about how he gets slower every year and becomes a worse fielder every year. You could look at those two things and understand pretty conclusively why they didn't offer him a contract. But I also feel like they owe him money. You know what I mean? I took a quick look at FanGraphs.
What is that background noise? What the
hell's
going on?
Sophie is not happy about Eddie Rosario leaving.
Jeez.
You can tell.
Real, really not happy.
Boy, we're not used to this sort of feedback.
I am.
Par for the course over here. Yeah, I know what
you're saying. A quick look at FanGraphs, and they make an effort to convert wins above replacement to the number of dollars that those wins were worth. And I forget what the math is, but it works out to something like $7 or $8 million per win above replacement that a player's worth. And going by that, over his career, Eddie Rosario's been worth something like $91 million to the Twins. And I think they ended up paying him $18 million or something like that. Now, nobody is going to be sad for Eddie Rosario that he got paid $18 million or whatever, but it is a little, it seems like a microcosm of something bigger, whether in baseball or whether in the world at large, that this is the smart decision, and all the smarts out there are talking about what a good decision it is, that the Twins extracted extra value from Eddie Rosario and then dumped him before paying him any more money.
Right. Yeah, it's the math of, well, you can get 80% of his production from Kirilloff for 20% of the price.
Yeah, or even 100%. It just,
or maybe, but you know, maybe. But
yeah,
again, as a general manager, yeah, you make the math work. But as a fan, it's like, yeah, but the one guy was 100 and the other guy was 80. I want the guy who's, but that's just not how. Yeah, you're right. All these guys, kind of mid level, whatever you want to call them, as we've talked about for a couple of years now, seem to be the ones kind of squeezed out. And so
baseball's system is very strange in that you get paid nothing the first 3 years, and then somebody else decides what you get paid the next 3 years unless you agree to a different contract than that. And it's a strange way of doing things, but it made some sense in the era when those first years were the proving ground for the long, large contract you were likely to get if you exceeded that. But in the new analytical era, people understand that those contracts are not worth what they once were, or not worth what they ever were. And so there's a lot of teams that simply won't sign it. How many guys did the Tampa Bay Rays have that have exceeded that sixth year of that third arbitration year, or whatever you want to call it? Not very many. They just dump them. And it's just a sign that baseball needs to redo how they do this. There's no reason. There's no reason to have the limitations on what guys get paid for 3 years or 6 years or whatever. I mean, the reason is that owners want it because it allows them to pay people less, and I don't think that's a good enough reason.
No, it also might just be the way it is now, which is a huge bummer.
Yeah, I don't actually know what baseball's CBA is right now and what the status is and when the next last one was signed and how long it goes, but I feel like a couple more years of this and it's going to reach a reckoning of some kind.
Yeah.
A blood reckoning, John?
Very possibly.
That's my favorite kind.
I know. It's a top three reckoning.
Just imagine, say, Miguel Sano on one side of the room and Jim Polat on the other side of the room. Imagine how that reckoning is going to go.
That's a quick reckoning.
Yeah. It's not really a reckoning so much. There are other words for that.
Yeah, it's a bummer. So do you think Kirilloff is the replacement? Or I thought I read that they were going to still try to work out a contract with Rosario. That still feels doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think they have a number of corner outfield guys, don't they?
Yes.
Beyond even Kirilloff?
Yes. Don't ask me any follow-ups, but yes, they do.
All right. So, and if nothing else, they have like 14 shortstops that they can move to corner outfield spots if they need to. So they got that going for them. But
yeah, that'll work out.
It was one of those things that I understood but didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was not really the issue. Maybe he wasn't the cause of all the success, but he definitely wasn't like a huge problem, I don't think. He was helpful.
Right.
Helpful Ed, as we always called him, rolls right off the tongue. Okay.
He was more helpful than, say, Marwin Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. That's very true.
Not a dirty cheater.
What a great
like
way
Marwin
to think about
Gonzalez.
It.
Yeah, true. Not a dirty cheater like Marwin Gonzalez.
True.
But I think the one thing that all of us on this podcast can agree with is that they got rid of the wrong Ed all those many years ago.
No doubt.
Oh, boy. Yep. We knew it 1 second after it happened, and it's been true ever since.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you think he's thinking of us? Probably.
Probably as much as we think of him.
He thinks of all God's children, Brandon.
He
was posting pictures of him milking a cow today, so.
Oh, man.
Oh, I missed that. I'm going to have to go look that one up.
I just smile when I think about it, and I think about it a lot.
I'm smiling right now.
And then I remember Eduardo Nunez and the fact that he worked with SpongeBob at the Krusty Krab.
That's right, Squidward.
All the Eds. I love them all.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just flush with Eds at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't appreciate it at the time. I mean, we kind of did, but not the way we should have. Not to the extent. I mean, how often are you going to have that many Eds, that many positive Eds in your life?
Stu.
I'm guessing it'll never happen again.
What's your favorite Slaughter song?
Let's see, Fly to the Angels.
Oh. What's your second favorite Slaughter song?
Oh, gosh. Up All Night. God damn it, I'm missing the obvious one. I'm so sorry, Chicken.
No, you're not. I'm thinking of Cinderella. Don't know what you got for it, Scott. God damn it. Fuck me. God. Fuck. It's been a long day.
That's okay.
This is... This is a pretty dad podcast.
It occurred to me about halfway through it. When you said the second song, I'm like, well, fuck it. You know what? It's not even fucking Slaughter. Although, I don't even know that Slaughter knew if they were in Cinderella or Slaughter. And Cinderella vice versa. They'd like, what? Long hair, brown hair, lead singer guy.
Yeah.
Not a Coke.
Yeah, Cinderella had a piano in it. Slaughter had a video of Shannon Doherty in it. I think that's how you could tell the two apart.
That's it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that same thing.
Have we talked about in the 1980s the ubiquity of music videos where a guy was playing a piano on like the cliff, like a cliff in the desert with like a flyover? That was pretty prevalent.
It happened in November Rain for sure, right?
It had to be a ballad, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was, right. Of course.
Yes. And it was so like the Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone video by Cinderella, November Rain, Final Countdown, I believe, had that same concept. There's three, and we haven't even dug into it. If you can think of three things from almost 40 years ago, there is a lot of them. There's a lot more that we're not thinking of because that was a long time.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the ballads. The up-tempo songs were all like in a warehouse that manufactured sparks.
Journey.
Yep.
Someday love will find you.
That was a joke stolen wholesale from Patton Oswalt, but God damn it, I'm going to keep using it.
He's a fan. Chicken, maybe that can be a rabbit hole feature from you, is some research on piano, music video, desert.
Yeah, that's it. Now, you know what? That's my...
getting right on it.
Right in my wheelhouse, the research. That's what I... Yep, that's me.
Homework, takeaways.
The whole research.
Just remembering things to do things later when you don't have a pen and paper in front of you. Yeah, I'll get on that. You got it.
Yep. Boop, boop. I'm writing your phone number down. Here it is. It's 73. Yep, that's me. Put the old glasses on. Crack a book. Get to researching.
The hour and a half you have enough
that's gonna
bandwidth
be good.
To pull up YouTube on your computer when the kids aren't just killing you with Netflix.
Wake up at 4 in the morning. No, I got to... I get to this research.
I got to see if Uncle Tom's Cabin had a piano in it. Fuck you.
Just knocking on the door, face pressed up against the window at the Cannon Falls Library, waiting for them to open. Walking, hey, Charlotte, it's me again. Yeah, set of research. Flying over the piano music videos in the 80s. All right, Chicken.
You got it.
Yeah, and I gotta apologize already. Uncle Tom's Cabin was up tempo. I was thinking of Heaven by Warren. That was a ballad.
I'm gonna say it was a black and white concert video. That was also prevalent a lot.
Yes, it was. Very much so.
Prevalent. Mm. And then
who
like
sings it?
Warren. It would be Warren, like at the crescendo, every one of those black and white concert videos would at the crescendo. They'd flash a light on the lights would flash on the crowd. Like instead of showing the band, they'd show the crowd all going crazy.
Right, Home Sweet Home by the Crew is what you're thinking of there, Chicken. That's also very much.
Yes.
They were able to get Vince Neil sober for like 30 seconds to sit up straight at a piano. And, yeah.
I'm looking up Heaven, Warren.
Heaven by Warren's got a couple cool things. It starts out with he's on stage and it's dark and there's just a little bit of a shadow, so it's kind of a mysterious. And then it goes into a background and a girl is taking Polaroids of the band as they're slow motion walking down the street, Reservoir Dogs style. There's some pretty good, you know, even if you haven't seen the video, you have seen the video. It's one of those sort of deals.
Black and white.
All white leather outfit from the lead singer. White leather, what a look!
And it's arty because the Polaroids are a metaphor for doing it.
That's all. Yep. See, the Polaroid comes out. It's like shoots out.
It's a metaphor.
Oh, they got a double guitar on this one. That's incredible. Yeah, this has got a lot of good touchstones of, and then the black and white, as you mentioned, like a flashback sort of deal. Ooh, back to back guitar playing on stage. Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and then I just saw the, now there's three band members on stage on their knees kind of rocking, you know? Mm-hmm.
You're going to have that.
Which is a great one. And then one guy just jumped off where the drum set is, like onto the other, like the platform thing.
Yeah. That's the David Lee Roth, I want to say. He may not have invented it, but he perfected it.
Yes.
And everybody after that is just.
He mainstreamed it.
Yeah.
Holy shit. This is
a good one. The entirety of hair metal is basically from the first two Van Halen records.
Yes.
Right.
And then it died with Nirvana.
Yeah. And also, I just want to say, we're all having fun here, but if anybody says anything mean about Love Song by Tesla, I will find you and kill you. Just don't say
that. That is a great song.
Great song. Be nice to Tesla. Be nice to Tesla. Write that down.
So Tesla then covered Signs. That was their only other hit. Mm-hmm. And then after that was it. They had those two. So they had the one song they did themselves. Their second was a cover, which is typically what a one-hit wonder does when they can't find the second song. They cover something old. And then after that, they're kind of out of ideas.
They all grunge kind of like overwhelmed everything, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Nirvana, Pearl Jam,
Irony.
Soundgarden. Yeah.
And like being sad was really cool.
It
reminds me of the
Vikings
song Heavy
fan,
Metal
God
Drummer. But Wilco's Heavy Metal Drummer was an ode to those bands. And, like, I thought, you know, because Jeff Tweedy always talked about, like, he would sit and watch these guys with their, like, wearing makeup and hair all teased out and leather. And he's like, I sat on the side and made fun of them. And now that I look back on it, those dudes were having the absolute time of their lives. Oh. And I was a dude sitting on the side thinking I was way cooler than them. He's like, no, those guys were way fucking cooler than me because they were having fun.
Yep.
And so that's the whole lesson of Heavy Metal Drummer, and it's just like a great life lesson too. I think about it a lot.
I think
it's actually put some makeup on and some leather pants and go out and have a blast.
That's the way if Brandon plays thing. On every Saturday on the sport court. Brandon has the makeup, the leather pants, and
that's right.
Just out there living his dream.
I say that as a guy who wears all black, so I'm maybe not doing the best of actually living that spirit, but I do like the idea of those guys did seem to be having a shitload of fun. Maybe because it was all the drugs.
On Netflix that they made about Motley Crue, and the name of it is escaping me right now. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
Yes, it's The Dirt.
The Dirt is kind of a microcosm for that entire concept, Brandon.
Yeah.
That it is the stupidest damn movie. It's not going to win any what's movies? Oscars? It's not going to win any movie, any Oscars.
Not going to win any movies. Yeah.
It's not going to win any
Win any of those movie things.
It's just stupid. But it is fucking entertaining. It is so entertaining.
That's good.
It's poorly written, poorly acted. Very entertaining. And you can
very
watch
much,
it over
it,
and over.
It honors the genre completely. It gives it exactly the
exactly
respect it deserves.
Yes.
Vince Neil has killed like three guys. Just by being a fuck up. Just by being a fuck up. He has killed like a good hit. And this is a sport of fact. So please, you cannot sue me for a sport of fact if it's
that's
less
true.
Than that.
If you say it beforehand, you can't be. Yep.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Killed three people. Okay. Sounds like another rabbit hole. Chicken, think, you want to take that one?
We pretty much improv that rabbit hole right there.
Research. Oh, writing it down. Research.
Where did we start? We started with, oh, you asked John about Eddie Rosario, and we ended on Vince Neil killing a guy. That's yes. good. That's a good rabbit hole right there.
Yep, that's right. Oh, boy. I don't even know where to go next. John, did you have any other sports on your mind?
I can talk all the sports.
Yeah.
I've got thoughts. Yeah. I've spent most of the week trying to figure out how, and I know it's not quite possible, but how can the Timberwolves get Ricky Rubio on both their first unit and the second unit?
Right.
Because they need him. They need him on both for different reasons.
Inappropriate.
He's the only guy on the team, I think, that is actually good at both offense and defense.
Right.
He's every other player is. He's a tiny positive on offense and a decent positive on defense, just because he's a good passer. And but he's really the only one. Karl Anthony Towns is an unbelievably incredible offensive player and is a negative on defense. D'Angelo Russell, same thing. Great on offense, awful on defense. Malik Beasley, and on down the line. Josh Okogie is like an all-defensive team guy and would fuck up a fast break.
He cannot would still control somehow, his hands.
Yeah. And there's really, he's the only one. So I was wanting Rubio to be the starter, obviously, because I think that's a really good starting unit, legitimately good. But I saw John Krasinski in The Athletic talk about it might make more sense to have him play off the bench with Edwards, because Rubio will really help Edwards, just like he has with some other Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker, and makes guys better in that regard. And so I think I'm on board with that one, I think. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Right. I mean, it's hard because you really want him out there with D'Angelo Russell, because D'Angelo Russell is not going to play defense ever. It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
So they need somebody out there to do that. And you can't just have Josh Okogie cover because, as you mentioned, they already have Towns. So that's two guys who aren't going to play any defense ever. And so you almost need three guys who are only there for defense to cover for them. But the second unit, I don't feel like it's enough minutes to really use Rubio's talents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be this is going to be a really challenging year for Ryan Saunders, because there's so many different ways that could go wrong. And a lot of it could be on his shoulders of like playing this guy with that guy. They just are. They're a versatile team in some ways. And also so many guys being one dimensional is just going to be really tricky. So I don't envy him.
My favorite part of that Krasinski article you mentioned was that he got most of the way through and then it was almost like, oh, crap, I forgot about Jared Culver, the number six pick in last year's draft.
It's amazing.
They can't play him now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was reading another article. I don't know if it was Canis Hoopus or A Wolf Among Wolves or maybe The Athletic. Anyway, they're just making the case for rookies being terrible happens all the time, constantly. Like, pick almost every good player in the league. He was really bad his rookie season. But Culver just seems so specifically terrible that I don't believe it with my own eyes. And they have this obviously, like any statistic you'd want of showing, like, yeah, Culver was bad, but look, so was DeAndre Fox, and he's awesome. So was Brandon Ingram, and he's awesome. So is this guy, that guy, on down the line. It doesn't take long to rattle off a bunch of guys who turned good. And even reading it, I was like, yes, I know technically you're right, but he shot 45% from the free throw line. It seems it's over to me. Like, that
it wasn't
just seems
so much
like
that he was inconsistent or couldn't harness his talent. It was like he was bad at basketball skills.
Yeah, and he was bad at the worst basketball skill.
Right.
Or the easiest, the simplest, most controllable. It's like if there was a rookie in baseball who was not good, but not only that, but every time he drew a walk, he tried to run to third base first. You'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, generally, you seem okay sometimes, and all of a sudden, every once in a while, you do this. That was Culver to me. So yes. I don't know what to fucking think about. I don't know.
Agreed.
And stop me if you've heard this before, Stu. Chicken, I know, is already gone. But they feel like they are legitimately like one guy away from being a solid team, right? Because Towns is good and D'Lo's good and Russ. It's just one guy. I knew it. I knew you'd like it.
That was really just a welfare check for chicken fingers. Let's see if that guy's still awake. I think Glenn Taylor is the best owner in Minnesota sports.
That Glenn Taylor, someday being a nice guy is going to work out for him.
And I apologize for not like laughing earlier, but I was distracted. So I'm trying to think of a really shitty hair metal ballad because the conversation just led me there. And I finally remembered Firehouse's Love of a Lifetime. Jesus, was that a turd. Man, that was so bad.
Really bad. It is absolutely the video or the song?
The whole thing. The
whole thing. All of it. Bad.
All
okay.
of it's bad. I think they played at like the Salida Events Center in Santiago, Minnesota, when I still lived up in St. Cloud. It's currently a gun range, but at the time they had bands, and that seemed about the right spot for Firehouse in 2004.
Did you say what city?
Santiago, Minnesota. It's got a bar.
Sure.
And then the event center is like where Highway 10 is. It's like a crossroads of the county road. It's outside at Becker.
Right.
This is like when our good friend Josh Fiedler was elected to the St. Wendell's Township Board, and I thought he was making a joke about living out in the country, and then I found out there's actually a place called St. Wendell's Township.
There is.
I was like, oh, that's a pretty good township name. That could really be the name of a township. He really worked hard on that. Oh, it's real.
Sooner or later, this podcast turns into naming small towns in Minnesota. I think we should start a Patreon of one of us just goes and visits one of them and reports back. And that's like the paid, all the like super interested people will pay for that content. You just go to Becker for the day.
You know,
and come back and tell us about it. Well,
you laugh, but
chicken,
in terms
like,
of promoting
to, like, Castle Rock Township for his job.
It wouldn't be hard for us to do. I would be interested.
You laugh, but in terms of like promoting engagement on social media, all the sport of Twitter feed was this week was just people remembering some towns.
I know. That's right. That's what I'm saying. We just need to remember some towns formally in a way where we
monetize it.
We got to monetize this thing, boys. We've been doing this for 24 years now. Now that I think about it, we got to monetize this thing.
We're just going to be naming
outstate Minnesota directional combined high schools. Bertha Hewitt, Walker, Hackensack, Akeley.
We just name them. And then if you've got a story to tell about the town, you tell it. And if not, just name another one. We'll just keep going.
Yep.
We'll name every town. That should be our.
Name all the towns.
We're going to name every town in Minnesota at some point. Maybe we can just. Let's get that list going, and then we'll see. We've already named 75% of them, right?
How many more towns can there be?
Well, no one's brought up Belgrade yet.
That's right.
Or Britain.
It's a perfect one. Sandstone. Right. Yeah, how have we not talked about Sandstone? Barnum? For example?
We named them all.
Yep, that's it.
There we go.
That Boom. Was the last one. Barnum was the last one on the list.
Barnum
I'm
was it. Yeah,
you
wouldn't expect that to be last. Yeah, it's crazy. What a shocker. Okay, well, I think I've had enough of being laughed at about the Timberwolves.
I think 301 episodes proves that is not true.
Nope. I'll be back for more next week. I don't know if the schedule's out for the season yet, but 72 games. They obviously, the bubble situation last year was a huge success. Nobody got COVID. It was great. They brought all the guys back this past week and tested them, and I think 8% of the league was positive, which is high, but also not too far off from like
for America. That's pretty good right now.
Yeah, it's probably healthier than the average. So I think they're going to have some struggles like they had, like every other sports league has had. Hopefully, it's not as big a disaster as college football. Yikes! So we'll see. John, do you know the plan for the NHL? Is it the same thing? No bubble?
The plan's getting real weird now. There was talk about hybrid bubbles. I just saw today that there is talk, not confirmed talk, not even a lot of talk, but there are a number of teams that are considering hosting not one, but multiple outdoor games to start the season. Like, they're just going to start playing outdoors instead of yes. playing indoors, because that way they can host fans.
Right. That makes sense. And I like it. Is that stupid?
It does make some sense, but mostly I'm pre-furious already because Minnesota's not going to be one of them, because in Minnesota, it doesn't matter whether you're indoors or outdoors, you still can't have fans. So it would, in the same vein as the NHL's long-running refusal to put an outdoor game or the Winter Classic in Minnesota, which is the home of outdoor hockey in the United States, in the same vein, it would be amazingly insulting to have 19 different teams playing all of their home games outside, including like Carolina, and Minnesota just sitting and playing in front of nobody at the Excel Center.
Yeah, that's... I don't like that at all.
That would suck. That would suck a lot. Right.
Okay, so outdoor games is the plan, so they can get a little bit of revenue from the beer money. I get that. Beyond that?
Ultimately, they still don't know. They still are not sure how or when they're going to start the season. It seems more and more likely that they are going to temporarily realign the league so that all of the Canadian teams can be in one division, because the Canadian government isn't going to let people come in or people go out. And in every other sport, there have just been Canadian teams have been getting screwed and having to play all their home games in New York or whatever.
Yeah, so, Toronto Raptors are playing in Tampa.
Right.
Tampa Raptors.
So
that could happen.
It's,
you could have dinosaurs in Florida. Yeah. You don't know.
Sure. No, probably, I don't. Probably, not an authority.
There's probably a park there that has it. You don't know.
Cold-blooded? Makes sense.
The thing more that makes me mad Toronto. About that, sorry. The no, thing that's... that makes me mad about that is that Minnesota's going to end up in the with all the Western teams, because there aren't enough teams to do it otherwise, apparently. And it just sucks, because that's the way it always was when they were in a division with Edmonton and Vancouver and all the teams that play in the Pacific time zone. And so every time they went on a road, either you were staying up till midnight to watch the game, or you were going to bed before it started. And they're headed back to that, because they're going to end up playing a million games with Anaheim and all the California teams, and it's just going to suck.
When are they starting?
They don't know. Nothing is decided yet. The NHL owners, being NHL owners, are suggesting things like, yeah, we know that we just signed that CBA and that memorandum, but what if instead of doing any of that, you guys got paid nothing to play hockey next year? That would be good for us. So why don't we think about doing that? That's our starting point for negotiation.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, buddy.
There's nothing that can go right in hockey that can't be screwed up by the NHL owners.
But they were pretty successful last year, right? They didn't have a bubble, but they still got through everything. Kind of similar to the, like, Major League Baseball, is that right?
Or was
it like a hybrid
did.
Bubble thing?
They had two bubbles. They had one in Edmonton and one in Toronto.
Yeah, two bubbles. Yep. That's right.
So.
I was just testing you. I knew that.
Yep. You knew that, but wanted to make sure that I remembered 3 months ago or whatever when that started. That
Correct.
Extremely... It was weird and wrong, and I, like everybody, thought, well, they just got to get through this, and then next year can go back to normal. But, of course, we can't have nice things.
Nope. But the year after this, maybe. Possibly.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
If there's an NHL by then.
Yeah, did you see the New York Times had a thing that you can enter, like, where you live and your age, and then you'd see, like, when you're going to potentially get the vaccine, like where on the spectrum of all the people in the country.
Right.
Did you take that? You should.
No.
It sucks.
I
because
just...
we're like, you're 430 millionth in line. Like, fuck, right. What?
How am I behind everybody in Mexico and Canada for the United States vaccine?
This doesn't,
doesn't make any sense.
Let me redo it. Yeah, it's not fun. So don't do that. I don't recommend that.
I'm trying to stay alive till my parents can get the vaccine and we can go to their house again.
Yes.
That's all I really
want.
That's
pretty much where I am too. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. Hey, Chicken Fingers.
Yeah.
Do you remember back when this pandemic just started and I kept trying to throw out like time frames, timelines, something. I kept trying to like pinpoint the light at the end of the tunnel and you kept saying like, don't do that because you're going to miss the deadline and it's going to make you sad in the long run. And I kept trying to fight against it.
It's got a name and I forget what it is, but yeah.
Right.
Paradox. Something paradox. But it doesn't matter. Somebody, it's a name. Something paradox.
Warrants paradox.
Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I understand that. That makes sense to me. But when there is an actual, as there is now, like there is a light there, then do you start to negotiate with yourself?
No.
You still don't.
You just put your finger on why. Why don't you?
Well, to me,
there.
Why don't you is because if, okay, so here's the way I'm thinking about it right now. It's December 3rd. Mm-hmm. I need to have, I believe willpower is a muscle, right? And it's going to get, it gets tired, just like everything else. Every other muscle, it gets tired. And so you have to recognize that as a human being. None of us are infallible. So the way I've been trying to think about it is, and I started thinking about it a couple days ago. So it was beginning of December. I said, we just need to get to March 1st. That's my new it's my new day, March 1st. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's 90 days. So it's 90-ish. So 87-ish days. I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's a day I can do a countdown to get to that. Mm-hmm. And even though on March 1st is not my day where I'm going to have the vaccine, it'll be the days will be a little longer, be a little bit more sunshine, be a little warmer. And there will be more people who have been vaccinated, therefore fewer people who will be dying in the grand scheme. Maybe I won't get my vaccination until like September or something, but it's March. I can go for a walk again. And I just need to like have something, a countdown to get through the winter in order to keep my willpower muscle strong. Is that stupid?
No, the concept isn't stupid. I think assigning a date to it.
March 1st
problems.
Is what you are having a problem with.
Yes.
Because you think, hey, like we could get to March 1st, and that's the day of the worst blizzard on the planet, and they also there could be somehow like the worst day of deaths and blah, 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 and all of a sudden you thought March 1st was going to be great. It's going to be worse, and now you're going to be so unbelievably depressed, you're going to give up.
Yep.
Well, shit.
Cling to the hope that it will get better, but don't assign a date to it.
Okay. I don't like it. I like a date.
Well, I think we all would, but that's the trap.
Yeah.
No,
that's the paradox.
No, hope is a strategy. Okay. Hope is a strategy. Okay. No, I know it's not. It's not.
Speaking of hope being a strategy, the Minnesota United game is all but over here, and they're still winning 3-0.
Fuck yeah. Way to go.
Well,
good job, John.
That's over then. Over.
I'm not counting my chickens until I see that final whistle.
John, prior to the Loons being a major MLS team, weren't you a Sounders guy?
I have family in Seattle, as I've said a number of times on this podcast, and so yeah, I was a Sounders guy.
Oh, okay. So you win either way.
Yeah.
Good for you. Two teams. That's the way to do it, Jonathan.
Now it's more like when the Vikings play the Seahawks and lose right at the end of the game, I write an angry, angry, bitter text, and then I delete it, and then I write another angry, angry, bitter text, and then I delete that. It's just extremely frustrating because I'm so angry. And that's what Monday is probably going to be like again. Just a million angry texts about the Sounders that I then delete.
Monday, what's the time of this game that we're definitely going to be playing in?
8:30 on Monday night.
Monday at 8:30. Wow. I'm so jazzed and jacked.
That'll be around the third Monday Night Football game of the day, or is that at some time?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. I mean, this game was supposed to be played last night, but then the Thursday Night Football game, I think, got canceled or something. Or something got canceled. And they said, well, if you move it to Thursday, we'll put it on national television. And MLS said, okay. So, like, 2 days ago, it got moved back to Thursday instead of Wednesday. So what I'm saying is it's currently scheduled for Monday, but let's not count our chickens yet.
Not those chickens, but we'll be counting the other chickens of this game.
The other chicken. Yeah.
John, how many times have you been asked or basically yelled at to watch the TV show Ted Lasso? A bunch?
A number, but I just discovered that for reasons that I can't possibly fathom, I have an Apple TV subscription, so I'm planning to watch it.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't want to be the millionth person to suggest it to you.
I have heard from a number of people that it's good and I should watch it.
Lighthearted, easy half hour at the end of the night.
I admit I didn't necessarily see that coming, given that it was based on a commercial.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's a super easy watch. I sometimes find myself, as I'm an old dad, as you are, late at night, not wanting to get into anything too heavy, you know, and too much that I have to like pay a crazy amount of attention to. And oh my God, what does this plot twist mean? That's just a easy breezy. Love it. So you'll have to let us know.
All right. I'll check it out.
In the next
10 years.
I'll
put it on the list, Brandon.
I love that list. Okay, I have nothing else to talk about. I'm out of words.
I have two questions to close on for Stu, if that's
great.
Okay.
Yep. Nope.
Sweet.
About a minute and a half into the podcast, John said something about the loons, and he used the term against all odds. And since then, I basically have been on autopilot, which I am every podcast, but what I've really been, I've said words, but I wasn't putting my whole heart into it. What I've been focusing almost entirely on is these two questions that I want to ask Stu. Is Against All Odds the best Phil Collins song? And if not, what is the best song? Because I contend it is Phil Collins' best song that In the Air Tonight gets all the publicity, but Against All Odds is his best song.
Are you going to include the songs he did with Genesis in this, or is this
I will.
Okay.
No, for the sake of argument, I'm going to say that I'll include Genesis.
Okay. I am going to say That's All by Genesis is his best song. But as far as solo Phil Collins, yes, I would agree that Against All Odds, because that's just his divorce song. He's just furious, but then he makes a ballad out of it. I think it won the Academy Award for Best Song because it was in a movie with, Jeff Daniels. I think Jeff Daniels. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Could be.
Ugh.
All right.
He did another. Okay. I'm on a Phil Collins.
No, that's.
Phil
no,
Collins,
that's,
right?
That's,
at all. Sorry. Because he did another one called Separate Lives. Yeah, he did Separate Lives. A duet with a singer called, let's say, Marilyn Martin. And that was in the movie White Nights, featuring Mikhail Baryshnikov and Jeffrey Hines as dueling ballet dancers from behind the Iron Curtain.
Yes. Old Jeff Hines.
Jeff Hines and Baryshnikov.
In tights.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And that wasn't even the big song off of that soundtrack. It was Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie. But that's neither here nor there. 1985 was weird, guys.
You didn't ask me, but my favorite is Susudio.
That's why we didn't ask you.
Yeah, just
because
on,
we
man.
Anticipated just on, an answer like that.
Please
what
respect
the fuck is the matter with you?
What respect a fun the segment, song Brandon. That is. Respect the segment.
What a fun song. See, now I am the heavy metal drummers, and you guys are Wilco.
Second and final question. Is Phil Collins the best drummer who is the lead singer of a band. There's not a lot of them, but there are some.
Levon Helm.
Man.
Is he the best of them?
We're not counting
lead singer,
Dave.
We're not counting
Dave Grohl here, right?
No, we're not. We're not, because when he was the lead, again, this is important, and words have meaning. Mm-hmm. Lead singer of the band. Not a drummer who sings in the band. He is the lead singer, or she.
Boy,
who was
yeah.
the best lead singer?
You've got him.
That was also a drummer.
You've got Levon Helm, but that was more of a group effort with the band, so I don't think you can call Levon
group
Helm
effort.
The lead singer.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
And that also takes out Don Henley, too, right? Because of Glenn Frey.
But is
Frey.
He the lead singer? Because Glenn Frey, that's why this is a rabbit hole question. This is what I've truly been focusing on for the last hour.
Yeah, I think it...
But every time we bring somebody up, you just go, oh, no, specifically that guy doesn't count for this reason or that reason.
But he is right about this, though.
But they're legitimate reasons. Like Karen Carpenter's another one. Is she...
Ooh, I'm going to say Karen Carpenter.
Yeah, but didn't Genesis have another singer too?
I'm going to say Karen Carpenter and Phil Collins. Yes, they did, but that was before they got popular. Karen Carpenter than Phil Collins. That's 1-2. I'm forgetting an obvious one, but I'm going to go 1-2 with that. And I think I know Mac Wilson would argue that Henley was the lead singer of the Eagles, but I disagree with that. Because I think Glenn Frey did enough lead vocals on those songs. And you also have your straight Timothy B. Schmidt. As happens in 1979. You're just going to have Timothy
Don't sleep
B.
on
Schmidt
him.
Wander in, just nail I Can't Tell You Why, a good Eagles song, which I am loath to admit, and just fucking nails it.
Song.
And, God, yeah, I'm going to go Karen Carpenter, then Phil Collins, 1-2.
I'm going to get out ahead of Mac Wilson, too, and say that if you have to ask the question if they're the lead singer or not, then that answers your question.
Yes.
If the question is even debatable, then they're not the lead singer.
Yes.
Then they're just co-lead singers, if you're even asking the question.
Yeah, because the most recognizable Eagles song is Hotel California, which Henley sings lead on, but the second most recognizable one is probably Winslow. Why can't I think of the name of the Winslow, Arizona song, guys? God damn it.
Peaceful, easy feeling.
Peaceful. Yeah, that's right. And that's Glenn Frey.
Yep.
I did some internet research as you were talking.
Oh, no.
And
why would you do that?
I found a source, Paste Magazine,
Yep, that's about pacemakers. The leading... Yep.
Pacemaker Monthly did a feature... They've got my guy, Mr. Helm, as number one,
but
Phil Collins is number
singer.
Two.
He's not the lead singer of the band. Absolutely not.
Their claim is Phil Collins was kind of in the same thing where he wasn't totally the lead singer either. So
yes,
that's
he was.
Not true. That's not
he absolutely
no, that's not.
Was.
You take it up with that's, Pacemaker Monthly.
This is why
I am
nobody
just
trusts
telling
the media.
You what I've been.
I have never been
the
more
mainstream.
Angry.
This is how we end up with a celebrity star.
Don Henley was third, and Stu, you might be upset not knowing the fourth one. It's a local band.
Oh,
Husker
Du. Grant Hart.
Grant Hart
by Husker
Du. Yeah, he's not the lead singer of Husker Du. Jesus Christ, this is a stupid
Sheila E. is sixth.
I have never been more angry.
Sheila E. is sixth. Roger Taylor from Queen. Peter Criss.
Oh, Jesus. Peter Criss. Oh, God. I'm going to
this Pacemaker
so
Monthly
Prince
is just
dead.
Singing drummers. It's not
so
saying singing lead.
That was why I led with that, Brandon. It's not about the question
Ridiculous.
Isn't about drummers who sing. It's about drummers who are the lead singer.
I'm doing a motion with both my hands right now that I'm guessing you can probably guess what it is. It's commonly associated with male masturbation. That's what I'm doing. Double hands right now.
Fine. You come up with your own question next week. This was my question. I get to set the parameters.
My favorite part of this question was how, at any other point in the podcast, you could insult Sue's entire family and he'd just central Minnesota. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. But you say for 1 second that Peter Criss was the lead singer.
I know.
No, react.
He's penning a letter to Pace Magazine as we speak.
I will not stand for Paul Stanley erasure on the sports podcast that I am the 1/4 co-host of.
Peter Chris, was he the cat?
Yes.
Catman?
He was Catman.
Okay.
Ace was a star child. Paul's a star child. Ace was Space Ace, and obviously Gene Simmons was the devil.
Yep. That I remember. I couldn't. It's the others that get foggy in my memory. Who's who?
God, I'm so wound up right now. God damn it.
Yeah, you're going to have to find some melatonin or something to calm down, but it's almost bedtime.
It's a good question, though. If it gets Stu's all riled up, that should be our goal.
Yep.
How about
rile up Stu.
Brandon, let's unite the clans. Let's unite the clans. This is my piece. This is my olive branch. Here's what I'm offering. We combine your rabbit hole segment with rile Stu up. And that is our goal at the end of every podcast, is a rabbit hole that riles Stu up. And every week, one of us has to find something. Because this kind of was a rabbit hole.
Yep.
And it riled Stu. That's our goal. And I don't know what it could be. It could be whatever it is. But that's the goal.
Okay. Yeah. I think that the thing that really bothers him is when we forget or don't give enough respect to a musician. That's really the only thing that's ever mattered to him. So we got to make sure
that's really pigeonholes us. Yeah, I mean,
tough, but I just can't imagine anything else of like if it's some sort of like rabbit hole of like some sort of other country or something. He's not going to be upset about that or
not
even
as
sports.
Much.
No, it's no. It's really just if we don't give enough respect to some.
I mean,
do
you call
musician.
Dave Grohl a drummer because he was the drummer in Nirvana, but in the Foo Fighters he plays guitar. So you're going to call
him
the drummer?
He drums, too.
Jesus Christ.
He drums, too.
No, you son of a bitch. That's not the goddamn point.
I'm so angry.
The lead singer who plays drums.
You made up a quiz. The only person who actually does do what you're talking about is Phil Collins. So it's like he's the best of like seven people on Earth.
Karen Carpenter does it, and she does it better. You asshole.
Okay, so that's two people we've thought about. Name other, like, it just doesn't happen. So I get, yeah, he's the best of the four people who do it.
I got three words for you, Brandon. Dave Clark 5, bitch. And that's four words.
But again, like, no, this just isn't a thing.
So
you're not.
It seems like a
so angry. God,
angry Stu is the best Stu.
Butt's not.
I feel like. You actually, because we don't know the actual identity of Chicken Fingers, you might be Phil Collins. This is a question that Phil Collins would have asked us. Is he the best of... No, not that guy, not that guy, not that guy. That guy doesn't count. But of these guys...
I'll ask you this. Would Phil Collins do such a... Who's British, do such a poor John Lennon impersonation?
I think poor like a fox... As I tap my temple, right?
That was 4D chess. That was four-dimensional chess by me, knowing that this was coming.
Exactly. Well,
the thing is, Phil Collins...
You always give yourself an out.
Now, hear me out. Phil Collins was on Miami Vice. John Lennon was not on Miami Vice because he was dead.
Mm-mm.
Hence, Phil Collins is better than John Lennon.
Hear me out.
No, it has to be an hour-long drama in the 80s. Is he the best musician on a show in the 80s? Hour-long drama has to be Wednesdays.
Well, it was on Friday.
It's got to be Phil Collins.
It was on Friday. Brandon.
David Hasselhoff.
Jesus Night Christ. Rider.
Put on my Panther starter and go back to
just
where I
can. Try. Just try once, Brandon. Jesus.
Okay, so we credit Phil Collins for being a little bit more talented than Karen Carpenter. We agree on that?
No, I do not agree.
Not even that. I tried to find a we can build on this statement.
And now my wife and my daughter are arguing about John Lennon in the other room. So that's...
Don't argue over me, ladies.
Your job here is done.
I'm not worth fighting for.
That was a bad husband. That was a horrible British accent. God, I'm angry. I'm so mad I can't even do an accent.
You didn't even try it. It sounded just like you saying your regular words.
This is just the best podcast of all the podcasts.
Well, it's just... Oh, God. How can you? Oh, God.
Ugh. I'm so happy for so many different reasons.
God. I was trying to wrap this up 20 minutes ago.
Is the game over, yes, by the way? Is the match over?
Yeah, the match and the game are over.
Okay. So we did an hour and 20 minutes, and we did not even mention Minnesota, University of Minnesota using a public health crisis to dick over Wisconsin football.
Incredible.
Which, if not for the bowl game on January 1st, would have been the best moment of the last 55 years of Gophers football.
Yes. Yeah, okay, it's a close second.
It's so good.
We're going to get boat raced. Get sick instead and ruin their lives.
You're going to make lemonade out of those fucking lemons, PJ. I recognize it. I see what you're doing, and I appreciate it. And yep. John appreciates it a lot more. He just can't say it. He's a good person.
I'm disappointed that they're not playing for the first time since Grover Cleveland was president or whatever. But if it had to stop, this is an extremely funny way for it to stop.
Exactly.
It's so good. It's so much better than just beating them regularly. This made them so much sadder.
Yep.
Ugh.
Okay. Well, there, we can call it good there. I got to just walk around.
Stu's going to take the dog for an 11-mile walk right now.
Just furious.
He'll end up at John's house. Hey, John. I'm here.
Just pounding.
I've done it before. I have done it before.
Show your face.
It's true.
I've got coffee bender in the fridge. So, God, I'm mad.
To be the true Stew, he has to knock on your door and then try to run away while you desperately scramble to get to the front door so you can yell at him.
That's a Stewism.
Yep.
Okay, that was great. A lot of fun. Let's wrap it up.
Helm. Jesus Christ.
The best. Okay, I'm pressing stop. Goodbye. Love you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.